hello there. Welcome back to another episode of the TV Casualty Podcast. I am Kat Angus, and Jeevan Brar is sitting right next to me, folks.
Well, hello.
Well, hello back to you, Jeevan.
Well, hello. Is this an infomercial?
Maybe it is.
Well, hello. Welcome to my podcast.
You might expect to get the TV Casualty Podcast for $50 or even $40, but I will knock it down to $0, my friend.
It's free.
And in addition to that, I will give you this free slap chop. I have no slap chop. That is a lie, friends. I apologize. But let's get down to the actual...
I don't even know what it is.
You don't... Seriously, you don't know what a slap chop is? How do you... It's a thing that you slap it and it chops food for you.
I'm not really domesticated.
Neither am I, but I want a slap chop so badly. Okay, let's...
Okay.
We're going to talk about slap chops all day.
Back to the living room, yeah. Because that's, you know, where we do our living and watch TV.
Yeah, let's get back to television. Yeah. Specifically, let's talk about Parenthood and how much this show weirds me out, but in a good way. I'm weirded out because I am enjoying Dax Shepard. I am finding him charming. I love his character. He is acting very well.
Surprisingly.
I have no idea what world are we living in where I do not want to punch Dax Shepard in the face. And in fact, I am rooting for him.
Sadly, I feel the exact same way, even though he is engaged to one Kristen Bell.
You're very upset about him getting married to Kristen Bell.
I was so upset.
Why?
I just really...
Because you love her?
I love her.
I love her too. But I just want her to be happy.
I mean, I know I'm not going to get with Kristen Bell. It's just, does she really need to settle down right now? I mean, she has a career ahead of her.
Well, if Dax Shepard is anywhere near as charming in real life as he is on Parenthood, I can't fully blame her. Because on Parenthood, when the show started, he was this immature guy who was trying to avoid having a child.
Yeah.
And when he found out that he already had a 5-year-old kid, I assumed that his storyline would be him freaking out. And eventually, after many, many episodes, if not seasons,
right,
he would finally realize, oh, I need to grow up and be this person.
Yeah.
But instead, he's just sort of like realized, oh my gosh, this kid is great. I love being a father and I'm going to try my best, which I love because one, the story didn't go where I expected it to and
no,
where most shows would have taken it. And two, his relationship with Jabbar is adorable, and it's very nice just to see a guy find out that he is a father and fully embrace it and enjoy it.
And he did, and he was even getting some action with that really hot lady with the accent, but he was worried about the kids in the pool.
I know. He's becoming a grown-up.
Yeah.
And it's very sweet.
I think I almost teared up when he told his parents.
That was a very sweet moment.
The
and there was that little moment where they realized that the child is half black, but then it was maybe half a second, and then they just welcomed him into the family.
Not that there's anything wrong with
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but clearly the family was surprised.
It was mostly because of the name of Jabbar. It's not really a normal name, but then again, Zeke's not a normal name either.
Yeah. And Zeke's not exactly a normal person either.
We still haven't figured out why he had condoms in his place.
I'm not sure, but this week's past episode, you saw that Zeke is very much in debt and could possibly lose the house and is keeping it a secret from his wife.
Damn.
Yeah, so who knows what else he's keeping from it. But going back to Dax Shepard, so this week they finally brought up the issue of why the mother of Jabbar didn't tell Crosby about the kid for 5 years. And it turns out she called him several times, never left a message, and just decided that she would not tell him ever. And then basically told the rest of her family that Crosby knew about Jabbar and abandoned him.
Oh, great.
Which, obviously, she makes her look terrible. And she does admit it at the end of the episode, and everyone comes together, and it's very nice. But I thought it actually was a nice touch to show that neither she nor Crosby are perfect, but that they're just doing the best they can. And it sort of brings them onto an equal level, that they're both kind of screw-ups, and you can see maybe why they got together in the first place.
Yeah.
Because before, it just kind of looked like she was this really awesome mom who was great about everything. And all I could think
ballerina.
Was, did you meet Crosby before? Why would you sleep with him? I'm also still enjoying Lauren Graham quite a lot. Her relationship with Mr. Sear, played by Jason Ritter, was adorable.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to like him because his facial hair is awful.
It's uncomfortable to see.
But they're so cute together, and I understand why they had to break up, because obviously you cannot date your daughter's teacher.
No.
Especially when your daughter is in love with said teacher.
Infatuated.
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 Infatuated?
Infatuated. I'm just slurring today. I'm drunk.
Too many red wines this morning.
Yeah. I find it very comforting when Lauren Grahams comes on screen. I don't know what it is. She has this glow about her that if I turn the TV on and she's on, I'm all happy.
She is the television equivalent of a warm cup of cocoa.
Yeah.
Like, you're on, you know you're in good hands, and you are going to enjoy yourself for however long she's on the screen.
Yeah.
And she cries better than almost anybody else on television. I think the only person who can rival her crying is Allison Hannigan.
Oh.
And Allison Hannigan doesn't get to cry a lot on How I Met Your Mother, but go back and watch some past Buffys, because Hannigan can cry so pretty, and that is hard to do.
It's very hard to to look attractive while you cry.
Now, how are you feeling about the Asperger's storyline on Parenthood?
I think it's handled very... It is heartbreaking to watch it unfold when Peter Krause's character start to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized that, you know, the scheduling, and it's not going to be the same. And my heart also broke for Lauren Graham's son when he wanted to hang out with his uncle, and his uncle couldn't hang out with him.
Yeah. I find they're integrating the families fairly well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems a little bit forced, but for the most part, when they come together, I really enjoy it. And I think the scenes where they have them sort of having conversation but talking over each other is done very well. And yeah, I think the Asperger's storyline is working very well, just very realistically, because Jason Tatum's son has Asperger's and it's based on that. And this past week, I thought it was very well done that Julia's daughter was exhibiting similar signs to Asperger's.
Right.
And so Christina and Adam are sympathetic, but also a little excited that maybe their kid isn't the only out-of-sorts one in the family,
yeah.
And they were sort of looking forward to that. And, of course, then there's the reversal when it turns out that Sydney does not have Asperger's. She's gifted, and she's acting out because she's bored. And I thought the scenes were handled very nicely, where Julia does not want to tell them because they've been so supportive, and she doesn't want to say, oh, so it turns out she's not screwed up. She's just super awesome.
Sorry, your daughter's awesome.
And, yeah, the awkwardness, but then the ultimate accepting. And it's a very heartwarming show. And they don't apologize for it. And you know what? I like heartwarming shows. They used to happen on Everwood. And Everwood's gone. I thought Life Unexpected would fill that role, but
no,
it did not.
It did not.
And I think Parenthood is filling that heartwarming part of television that I so desperately need.
Back to Julia, what do you think of Erica Christensen's performance?
She is really miscast.
Yeah.
I don't think she... Well, one, she's a year older than me, so okay, fine. She's 28, so I guess that's old enough to be a high-powered lawyer and have a kid.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it still seems very weird, and she's just not a very good actress, especially compared to the people she shares screen time with, like Lauren Graham, Peter Krause, even Dax Shepard is acting circles around her.
Who would have thought that, you know,
Swim fan. Yeah, I know. I could have told you that Swim fan's acting career was not going to go very well. It's not even just that Julia is an annoying character, which she is. And I know that's partly by design. Like, she's supposed to be this uptight person who is trying to become more flexible and deal with her child and everything. But even if that's her character, Julia is very unlikable, and I don't like watching any of her scenes. And Erica Christensen doesn't give her any kind of warmth or reason to like her. In the hands of a better actress, we might be able to see glimmers of why Julia is an interesting person or why we should like her, but it's just not working out for me. What do you think?
I am on the same page, same page. And the interaction with her husband is kind of awkward. Why is he at home? Why is he a stay-at-home dad? They went to school together.
Well, they need to stay. They need
is
one of the parents
artist?
To stay home. Why shouldn't the dad stay home, Jeevan?
There's nothing wrong with the dad staying home.
Right. There's not.
I mean, it's...
What's your point, Jeevan?
I felt like Brothers and Sisters already did that with Sarah and her artist husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they got divorced because clearly, folks, if the dad stays home, your marriage is doomed.
Yeah.
Take a lesson from Brothers and Sisters. But yeah, Parenthood, totally liking it. It got a second season already, and I'm very excited for that.
I'm excited too, but what gives NBC the right to already renew Parenthood, but you're going to make all the Chuck fans wait until Upfronts?
Well, Chuck has another 6 episodes to go, and their ratings haven't been great. I mean, Chuck is always on the bubble. You guys should just get used to this by now. I mean, you're going to be... I'll be sort of disappointed, but I'll live with it. I think you're going to, like, die if Chuck goes off the air.
I am going to jump off 30 Rock.
Oh, well, we'll always have Parenthood. We'll always have Dax Shepard. And on to another one of my favorite shows, but not in a heartwarming sense.
No.
Breaking Bad is finally, well, it's always been awesome, but we're sort of getting a feeling of where the show's going this season. And Jeevan, you felt this past episode was a little off.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It was hard to explain. The characters were just going in different directions. You didn't know what they would do next. One minute Walt doesn't want the divorce, next thing he signs the divorce papers. Skyler's off having an affair in some house with special floors, and that excites her. And I'm constantly worried that someone's going to die, and that someone is Hank. I just feel that they're going to kill him off.
I would be terrified if they kill Hank off. And the thing is, I would not be surprised if Hank discovers Walt's secret and either helps Walt out or kills himself because he finds himself so incompetent at his own job that he couldn't discover his own brother. But, okay, so you felt this was a little off, but I think that's basically how these seasons of Breaking Bad work.
Okay.
First season, it sort of builds spends a few weeks building things up, and then it sort of found its stride, and then just as that happened, there was a writer's strike, which truncated the season.
Right.
Season two, basically the same thing, spends a while building it up, and then last few weeks just goes full force. And I feel like that's what's happening again this time, and this past week was the episode where they're saying, okay, here we go, like, Walt has finally decided, you know what, I may not have my marriage anymore, but I can still support my family. And after having that discussion with Gus, who says, no, being a father is supporting your family, even when they hate you, if they want nothing to do with you, this is what you do. And Walt accepts that, signs the divorce papers, and gets back into cooking.
In a very high-tech lab.
In an incredibly high-tech lab with a super secret entrance, which was awesome. I wish I had one of those to my meth lab. I mean, I'm just doing it in my basement, and I live in a fourth floor apartment. So the person who lives below me, not very happy.
No.
But we're finally seeing the Walt that we all knew he was, but Walt was trying to deny.
Yeah.
And he is messing with Jesse, who's going to come back at him full force. And I like that. I liked the whole thing with Skylar, how she first enjoyed the heated floors in her little
affairs
bathroom. And then eventually it just sort of reminded her of this life that wasn't really hers that she was trying to live and that made her uncomfortable. And I thought that was really, I thought that was well done. And I just loved the symmetry of the scenes where Walt is talking to Gus and saying, like, you think you know me. You think you can appeal to my pride. Well, you can't do that, which, of course he can. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And then later on, Skyler talking to her lawyer, trying to justify keeping the money that Walt made, and then saying, no, I'm not saying that I want to do that, which, of course, she does. And it proves that these two have a lot more in common than either of them want to really admit at this point.
Yeah.
Do you think that Skyler and Walt will find their way back to each other?
I think they will, but it might take some time.
What do you think it will take for Skyler to say, you know what, I don't care what you do, bring in the monies? She'll say it exactly like that, too.
Exactly. She wants that kind of life. We have to remember that the guy that she's having the affair with is also married and has kids.
He's not married. He's divorced.
He's divorced.
He's divorced, but he's also a crook, just not with drugs.
Right.
And I think that relationship has sort of made her realize that this guy, who she thinks is a great guy, isn't really all that different.
A crook's a crook.
A crook is a crook. By hook or by crook. Suddenly we're in a Dr. Seuss book.
I know.
But they're both breaking the law, and
they're both breaking bad.
Yes. Yeah. Although Ted would probably... Well, neither of them would think they're being bad people.
No.
They're just trying to support their families. Now, granted, I don't think Ted has killed anybody in order to support his family.
Indirectly.
I don't think Ted has indirectly killed anybody, whereas Walt has directly killed people.
Yes.
But I think this whole show is just about denial, at least this season, is about trying to deny who you are, and Jesse's the only one who is fully accepting it, which is weird because he's the only one who really isn't a horrible person. Like, obviously, not a good person.
No, he's, no one to bring home.
No one to bring home to, like, but he's probably the best out of all of them at this point, yeah. And is the only one willing to entertain the notion that he might not be awesome.
And Hank is also in denial.
Hank is in denial about his PTSD and is chasing after Walt, even though he doesn't know it's Walt.
Yeah.
And so you think Hank is going to die?
I'm worried.
What makes you think that he will die?
He's eventually going to find out about Walt. I mean, he's not a stupid cop.
No.
No. So I think eventually he will discover what Walt's been doing, and it's probably not going to end well.
How do you think Hank will react when he finds out?
Exactly, that we don't know, and that's what worries me.
Yeah.
He just might not be able to handle it, and...
Because we've seen how well, and by well I mean horribly, Hank has been handling his own issues.
Right.
And when this comes down on him, and I have a feeling when he finds out, it will be when he's already at one of his lowest points, and that will just push him way to rock bottom.
Heart attack, maybe?
Heart attack. Oh, I hope not. I love Hank. I think he's a great character. I didn't think I was going to like him as much as I do.
I know.
But, yeah, I think this season is finally starting to go somewhere. And, I mean, Walt may be cooking, but after 3 months, the cousins are coming after him with their shiny, shiny axe. And I can't...
Boots.
And their boots. And I cannot wait to see what happens. Well, it's lost time once again, and Jen McDonald is here.
Hi.
Taking her gum out of her mouth.
Once again.
And we got so many reunions this week. Like, basically everybody's back together, except for, like, Richard and Ben and Miles are off somewhere having a party.
Yeah, it was momentarily back together. For a while there, I was like, oh, yeah, everyone's together again. And then Sawyer did his thing, and Saeed went somewhere, and Jack
jumped off the boat like the drama queen that he is.
I loved that, though.
I loved it.
Because, honestly... It was almost like Sawyer and Jack switched roles a bit. Like Jack made sense. He made total sense when he was like, look, the smoke monster dude wants us off this island so badly. Like, we need to actually consider what would happen if we stayed on the island. Yeah. And Sawyer was the illogical one who was just like, no, we're going.
They've switched places. It's crazy. And I'm on Jack's side.
I know. I've always kind of been on Jack's side.
I know you have.
So do you think the title of the episode, The Last Recruit, do you think that refers to Jack?
I think Jack is the one who has been the most reluctant over the course of the entire series to believe that he is meant for something on the island. And I think now he's basically decided, no, I'm staying.
So what do you think? Okay, so if we're going with the assumption that that fake Locke actually wants people off the island, what do you think Whitmore wants? Because I was really surprised by the fact that they held everyone at gunpoint. It's like, don't you want all your candidates at one spot? Like, wouldn't you want them to join you on the Hydra Island?
Probably not, because if they know Smokey wants to get off the island and that he needs those recruits, they're probably assuming that all of those people are there to get off the island, which Whitmore probably does not want.
Right. I'm really unclear about Whitmore's motivations. Yeah. Like, I don't really think that he wants to protect the candidates.
He just wants to stop Smokey at any cost.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I think he wants to stop Smokey. I don't think that necessarily puts him on Jacob's side.
Exactly. So, he's on Dharma's side.
He's on the side of science. Exactly. And there's no science on the island. Jack of all people has already realized that you can't put your faith in science.
All right. That's what they should be teaching in schools.
Exactly. Science sucks. Drop out of your science class now, kids.
Yeah, we don't need people who make stuff.
Absolutely.
No. So we finally got the Jack and Claire reunion where they acknowledge, yes, we are siblings, which I thought was very sweet.
It was good, but I loved that Jack was a little bit freaked out by it. Like, it wasn't the happy reunion. Mm-hmm. It was like the, oh, you're a crazy person now, and I'm not really sure if I'm going to just embrace you with open arms because, you're also a discipline of Locke.
And you haven't brushed your hair in 3 years,
apparently.
And you
probably smell gross.
Now, what do you think about Smokey's claim that he has been impersonating Christian Shepherd all this time?
Yeah, that's a tough one because part of me really hopes it's true because at this point I'm so desperate for answers. I don't want those answers to be lies because you can't really trust anything the smoke monster says. The other part of that is, how does that work with all of the times we have seen Christian Shepherd that's not on the island?
Yeah.
We saw him on the freighter, or Jack saw him on the freighter. Jack saw him in the hospital.
In the hospital.
Yeah.
And as far as we know, Smokey cannot appear off the island.
Although, do you remember when he saw him in the hospital, like, what alerted him to Christian being in the waiting room was a smoke detector?
Oh.
Smokey, smoke detector.
Interesting.
So maybe, but we've pretty much established that Smokey can't leave the island,
can't leave,
right?
Yeah, and admittedly, I don't want it to be true because I really just want Jack and his dad to have some kind of reunion, even if it's the kind of Richard Alpert, Isabella thing where it's just Hurley translating for them.
Absolutely.
But I just don't want it to be true because I feel like that story is more than just Jack being fooled.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, Smoke Monster's response to why he showed up as Christian to Jack was that, you know, you need to find water. I don't really believe that Smoke Monster was helping any of the castaways, especially if he thought that they were candidates.
Well, and also, Smokey said the reason he looks like John Locke is because John Locke is a sucker.
Yep.
And I think at this point, you basically have to decide, well, was he a sucker or is there more to this than we know?
I kind of think John Locke.
I don't want to think it, but I do.
Like, John Locke, out of everybody, was played. And maybe he wouldn't have been a sucker had he not died so quickly. But, like, I think everyone was a sucker at the beginning. But at least people like Jack have had a chance to, like, logically think this through and, you know, leave some of their, like, scientific beliefs behind. But John Locke was so faith-based, and he was so, like, I have a purpose to be on this island, and I'm the leader.
But now Jack is that way.
Yeah,
and
I feel
is Jack going to turn out to be a sucker as well? Has he made a mistake staying on the island?
But I feel like Jack has really weighed his options. And has, like I said, when he left the boat, like, that decision seemed actually really logical to me. Like, he, you know, he thought, okay, well, this is what it felt like the first time we left the island. It feels different. It feels like this is what the Smoke Monster wants of us. We really need to think about this. Whereas I never felt that from Locke. Locke was just like faith, 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 leap of faith, never really stopped and thought, is somebody playing me? Because at this point, it seems like Jacob, even though he may be good, and Smoke Monster, even though we think he's bad, they're both playing these castaways a lot.
It's true.
And it's not necessarily what's best for the castaways, where I think Jack is finally coming to this with a critical mind, where Locke never did. Locke, bit of a sucker, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I really hope that's not true, but I'm scared that you are right.
I'm never right, so that's something. You can hold on to that.
The moment I've been waiting for all season was completely ruined.
I know.
Jin and Sun finally reunited.
Yeah.
And, okay, lame part number one.
Yeah.
Sun suddenly can speak English again.
Okay, so here's the thing with that. Do you think that had something to do with her, the fact that she, like Desmond, was, well, maybe not to the extent of Desmond, was connected to her flash sideways? Whereas her flash sideways, she could only, it seemed, speak Korean. And then all of a sudden something happened where she could only speak Korean on the island. Maybe she was kind of shifting back and forth between those two realities a bit.
Well, in the flash sideways when they brought her to the hospital, she saw Locke and recognized him. So clearly something is happening
there.
There
was some kind of awakened consciousness to the island. Because she might have seen Locke on the plane, but, you know, she'd never really had any experience with Locke that would make her have that strong of a reaction, right?
Well, I think it's because she'd been shot and was having her near-death experience.
So something, the other weird thing with that reunion, I mean, besides the thing that ruined it all that we'll talk about soon, was how they very purposefully positioned that sonic alarm thing.
Everybody I know thought that they were going to get zapped by the barrier. And when they didn't, I was like, okay, wait a few seconds, because then they're going to die. And that kind of...
Yeah.
That kind of ruined the moment because I wish they'd had just a sound to be like, it's off.
It's off. Yeah, and why did they do that? Nothing happens in Lost for no reason, right? Like, and it was so very obvious. Like, I wonder what the point of that was besides ruining the reunion. Because otherwise, it, you know, running together on the beach towards each other.
I was waiting for somebody to yell out, no! And then one of them blows up and it all goes horribly
wrong.
I'm
glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't happen. But then, so... They kiss and hug, and then Sun can speak English again, and she's like, I loved you. I never stopped looking.
So then
Lapidus. Just chimes in, looks like someone got their voice back.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
What was that? Everyone, like, up until that point, like, Kate was looking all cute. Yeah. Hurley gave a little smile. Even Sawyer had, like, a little crinkle in his eye, a little tear, and then...
Lupita's spells, spells it out for maybe the half a person who did not understand.
Thereby ruining the entire
moment.
I think it was like a comic thing that they just failed miserably.
I don't think so. I think they just didn't give the audience any credit in that moment, which is weird because while there have been moments where they spell it out a bit too much, it's never been that bad. Obvious. Especially not during a moment that needs to be so good. And they ruined it in three different ways.
The only really thing that I think saved Lupita's for me in this episode was the Burt Reynolds joke.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, that's funny.
That's pretty good. Lupita's, the only good parts about him were what was said about him.
Yeah.
And then he chimes in with that stupid line, and I just wanted to punch him in his stupid mug.
Yep. Okay, so now that we hate him, what do you think about Desmond? Tell me your take on Desmond this episode, because I was a little confused by him. How does he know? Okay, we know he has a flight manifest, but he seemed to know way more than a flight manifest would ever tell him. Like, where Claire was going to be. He seemed to really set up that whole reading of the will reunion. Mm-hmm. Like, he seemed to know that Claire was going to get reunited with Jack.
I think that not only does he know what's going on in both realities, but he knows what's going on completely.
Do you think?
I have a feeling it might even be as much as I hate this comparison, Neo in the Matrix, where he can just do whatever he wants. To an extent, obviously, he had to convince Claire quite a lot to go see the lawyer, but he can probably manipulate things a little bit as well.
Because the other weird thing, it's almost like he's kind of Jacob-y now, because Saeed was pointing his gun down the well, and once Desmond started talking, and it was that whole, don't let him talk to you, because then it'll change your mind, and that's kind of what happened. I mean, and he also counseled Desmond or Saeed without actually saying what he should do, which is a very Jacob thing. It was more like that, well, what would the woman that you love think about what you're about to do?
And obviously there's no way Saeed killed him, because they would have shown that. And even if he were dead, he wouldn't actually be dead.
And we would have all screamed at our TVs, no, Desmond!
And Naveen Andrews would have to barricade himself inside of his house.
I actually kind of liked how a couple of characters that we had written off, which is Claire, who we thought was kind of incredibly crazy, and Desmond, who we thought had just become, or not Desmond, sorry, Saeed, who we thought had just become zombified, have kind of redeemed themselves. Mm-hmm. Like Saeed seems to have, turned to the light side, not killed Desmond, we assume and hope, and Claire, went with the group and gave up her gun. And
well, like Hurley said, you can always bring someone back from the dark side, just like Anakin.
And Sawyer's like, who the hell's Anakin? What? Son of a bitch.
I don't believe that. Everyone has seen Star Wars. Know. He knows who Anakin is.
He gets every other pop culture reference ever.
Ever, yeah.
Not Star Wars, not really?
You know Burt Reynolds, but you didn't go see Star Wars in the 70s?
Maybe he spent too much time watching Little House on the Prairie.
Maybe just a little too much time.
Didn't catch any.
He should have made a Melissa Gilbert reference, and he would have gotten that
one. Would have been all over that one. Yeah, for sure.
So there's no episode next week.
Bummer.
But, well, it's a rerun of Amy Turner, so if you...
Tell me what that one was about.
That's the Richard Alpert episode. So if you want to rewatch that, go nuts.
I will.
But, yeah, no Lost for another 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
So I guess now we can just think about all the things that we learned this episode, which is really not that much.
Not that much. Again, it's just sort of they're almost going somewhere. And now that they're all sort of back together for the most part...
Yeah.
I say this every week, but I feel like next time is going to be good.
Something's going to happen. Yeah. Something big is going to happen.
Oh, God.
And again, like I said, if these answers that we get are actually turning out to be like smoke monsters lies, like these are our answers. That's why I kind of just want to put the Christian Shepherd ghost thing behind us, because fine, we got an answer. I don't really know if it makes sense, but fine. Now tell us who's that ghost kid that's
following the ghost
around
kid? Yeah.
Locke? Is that like Jacob, or is that...
Maybe it's his inner child. It's Smoke Monster's inner child.
But everyone else can see it. That's the other thing. How come some ghosts on the island, Hurley can only see some ghosts, but everyone can see when Smokey is pretending to be someone? Yeah. And how, if that's true, then Smokey obviously wasn't pretending to be Christian in that first episode, because only Jack saw him.
Yeah, I don't know. And I really,
my head hurts.
With all of the sort of plot holes around Smokey being Christian Shepherd, I'm hoping that it's more than than Smokey is claiming, because I don't feel like Desmond and, or not Desmond, sorry. I don't feel like Carlton and Damon would really, have forgotten that kind of stuff, or would just ignore it. And
at the same time, where you're going, but we've got,
we have a lot to do, and maybe it's best if we just sort of say, okay, and now moving on.
Yes. So how do you think, how do you think this is going to end? Do you actually think that some people are going to get off the island and Jack is going to be the candidate?
I think in the Flash Sideways, they're all going to have to decide to leave that reality, which is going to be really hard. Especially for Jack, who's going to have to give up his son.
His son, who he seems to have, like, an incredibly good relationship. Yeah. This episode, he was like, this is the best kid ever.
The best scene was when they were walking down the hall together, and they had the exact same walk.
I know. It was adorable. Loved that. That was great.
But I think it's going to be really hard for all of them to give up this reality.
Yeah.
And they probably, either they will all have to give it up, or they will all just decide that that's where they're living now.
Yeah. Except for one person. There has to be a Jacob candidate, who right now is looking like it's going to be Jack.
Oh, Jack or Desmond, and maybe Penny and Charlie can come live with him on
the
island.
Maybe Kate can go live with Jack, too, and then keep her away from everyone else.
Keep her away from Sawyer.
Keep her annoying everybody.
Yeah, and Sawyer will find Juliet.
Yes.
And, all the characters I don't like go off somewhere, and all the characters I do like hang out with me.
There you go. Lost Writers, take note.
That's how it's ending. Sorry, spoiler alert. Party at my house.
It's all about Kat. We knew that was how it was going to end anyway, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Have you met me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that does it for this edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. We'll be taking next week off because I'll be on vacation, so I'll see you in 2 weeks. See you later.